Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Quietly, your silhouette approaches me. A vision far too lovely to define. Hey, yeah. Tenderly, you take complete control of me. The feminine seduction of body, soul, and mind. Yeah. Touch me, and I feel your feminine. Touch me, girl, you are the lady women want to be. Softly you move when you're making love to me. Make love to be love me every night with femininity. Oh, 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 femininity. Oh, femininity. Thank you so much.
I just decided that I was going to let you have every bit of that.
I was trying to do the ad-libs and the main verses. You know what I'm saying? It's a one-woman show over here.
Absolutely. By all means.
Kia's like, I don't want no parts of that.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
niggas
them.
We are them.
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know, so
okay,
they might
well
be
yes
binary. I don't know.
Oh, I'm my sure. Word. Yes, so praise the Lord, niggas. Praise the Lord, everybody. How about that? Niggers
with a hard ER.
niggers, knackers, as the young lady the news said.
Oh, God.
Because, I mean, clearly when you put Knicks and Lakers together, you get knackers.
You do.
I mean, needless to say, Kobe Bryant has never, ever been a Knick.
No.
Kobe Bryant has never played basketball in the state of New York.
Has not.
In the city, play for a team that represents the state of New York in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But that young lady just had a slip of the tongue and got knackers when referring to the Los Angeles Lakers.
I too think so. I do.
I don't know. I don't know if I will excuse or defend.
Oh, no. I'm not doing that.
But I just feel like it is an interesting place to be in as a news correspondent, as someone who is responsible for communicating.
Yeah,
but we're all entitled to the mistakes.
I mean, I have two podcasts and I be fumbling all over my tongue all over the place. However, I don't defend white women.
I only have that
there we go.
Welcome back to Getting Grown with Jade and Kia. We are back to talk about the scam that is adulting, the worst hood we've ever endeavored to live in. And we are, I'm going to, chat and chop it up a spell.
If she don't shut her mouth.
We have an appearance by ASAP Noah.
In the background.
Our third co-host. So how are you doing, sis?
I'm January is finally over. Okay.
Yes, we made it through all 78 days of the month.
My God, happy Black History Month.
Thank God.
Black History, bear me, honestly, because it's eternity. But yeah, I'm doing, you know, I'm really in like heavy logistic mode. So it's a lot of admin work going on over here for up and coming projects. But I feel like, you know, I'm getting through to-do lists and things. So, this week started off as a bit, you know, a bit of a better week, still heavy, lots of things going on, but you know, seem to be in a decent place. How are you?
Well, you know, I am excited to hear about your productivity and hoping that in the coming days you can send some of that direction. I am doing well. Just kind of recovering. I was having an awesome conversation with our good friend Nakia a few minutes ago about me feeling just kind of giving in, because I feel like my supervisor suggested it a couple of months ago, and I thought she was just being shady, but now I'm starting to recognize the value and utility of her advice. She suggested that I look into some like project management, time management, sort of like professional development training, just to kind of supplement my skills. Because I mean, the fact of the matter is, I am juggling multiple balls. Yeah. Pause. And
same.
And and I grow up. And I just feel like I want to be a good steward over all of the opportunities that I have. And I just, there are some people who are very, you know, just that kind of, that level of administrative capacity comes very naturally to them. I feel like I have some potential for that, but that is an area where I feel like I can certainly grow. And I want to grow. I feel like I need to grow because I want to manage all things well, but I'm feeling very torn into multiple directions and could really use some tactical steps and strategies for like managing my time better, and managing multiple pieces of multiple projects better, being a leader who can kind of administer and administrate that work. I think that's going to be a good skill set for me to cultivate in my professional life. And I think that will add to my quality of life in terms of, you know, de-stressing me. Because I said this year, and as I read in my love letter to myself last week, I was going to be very intentional about taking better care of me. And I think that this is something that I'm moving in the direction of doing. That being said,
evolved Sagittarius.
I'm just feeling a little overwhelmed right now because I have a lot going on, and my boss so lovingly called us all into like an emergency staff meeting at 5:45
p.m. Nothing would make me angrier.
And, you know, shared with us that because of the success of one of our initiatives, we were considering adding another. So you guys know that the summertime is a really heavy time for me where we do these professional development leadership training institutes for faculty. And we already have 5 that we do in just about a 2-month period. So 5-week-long institutes. And because of the success of one of our institutes, and we have all these people on the wait list, she's like, let's just add another one. And I'm just like, okay. So that means 6 weeks out of an 8-week period, I'm going to be in institutes. And when I think about that on top of other projects, it kind of makes me want to ball up into a spherical, cylindrical situation and just cry myself to sleep. But
it's like the higher ed IHOP. And on a Saturday morning, you guys have a wait list. It's mad niggas waiting to eat pancakes.
It is so nice. It is so much. But I mean, it's a good problem to have, because I think the work that we're doing is, you know, important and necessary work. What we do is like critical to kind of moving, you know, agendas of equity and inclusion forward. So I'm all for the cause. I just don't want to, I just can't take another year where I'm burning the candle at both ends.
You got to take care of you.
So I'm going to be intentional about seeking that out. But that being said, I had an awesome opportunity this past weekend to journey to the University of California at Irvine, where I was honored and blessed and privileged and amazed to be invited to serve as the keynote speaker for the Empower Her conference there. And it was really, really dope. I got to meet a lot of awesome women. Shout out to my colleague, Adrian, I'm blanking on your last name right now, sis. I think it's Williams. Oh, I hope I'm not making that up. Either way, Adrian had me out. She's you know, the interim director of the center, or was. I think she's going to be transitioning to a new position. Congratulations. But either way, she put together an awesome conference for the women's center on her campus, the Dub Hub, as affectionately coined.
I love it.
And called. And it was really, really, it was really dope. And I got an opportunity to hang out with some of the awesome undergraduates and graduate students and some of the amazing thoughtful panelists there and share on what it means to kind of think about ourselves in terms of empowerment and holistic wellness and self-care. So I got to share some of the things, lessons that I've learned along the way around, you know, how to do those things. So it was just an awesome time, and I cannot convey enough how appreciative I am for the invitation. So it was really dope. And you know, y'all remember it was on this show where I said that I wanted to do more kinds of speaking engagements like that. And, you know, the Lord heard that and just took off running.
Sis.
And that's what we're doing in this season. And it's been an interesting ride, because, you know, I don't really have a lot of public speaking muscles. And I get real nervous, honey. Nerves real, 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 real bad. But I'm learning how to, you know, grow more.
Well, you ain't got no choice.
I don't have any choice. None whatsoever. So I thank everyone for being patient with me as I was sweating and stammering and stuttering off there and on the podium. But, you know, we got through it together, and it was dope.
I'm sure you weren't stammering more than Jay-Z in that damn interview where he was trying to explain why we were past kneeling. But anyway, congratulations, sis, and congratulations to you, Adrian, and everybody involved in these very important events that are set to help our youth and our future.
Yes, Adrian Williams. Adrian Williams doing awesome work out there at University of California at Irvine. It was good. And I got to get me just a little dollop of California.
Come on, Adrian, give me a call. I'll come out there and talk to the girls. We'll do a talk on how to stunt. So, but anyway, let's get onto this trash thing. All right, so we got a few items for the trash this week. So Megan Thee Stallion, I just wanted to go ahead and start there because, you know, apparently the internet was in uproar after some footage was posted of Megan Thee Stallion and G-Eazy.
Now, okay, I asked the internet about this because before today, I had no knowledge of an individual by the name of G-Eazy.
Oh, you don't know him and Cardi have a song together?
What is the name? Oh, how does that go?
Wait a minute. Because
I mean, I'm like everyone really, you know, tons of people jumped into my mentions and let me know that he is a white Anglo-Saxon male rapper. Who resides in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah. If I hit it one time, I'm a piper. If I hit it two times, I'm... Yeah.
I know exactly who that is. It ain't safe.
Yeah,
it ain't safe.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But, and so people were upset, and especially niggas. They were very, very upset about this.
Now, do you see how these tables have turned?
So, that's what I want to talk about.
God.
So, I'm like...
You're telling me black men had the nerve to be upset because a black woman was dating a white male. Is that what we're saying?
Never mind the fact that this young man looks like he smells like the illest of cold cuts. Never mind that. That's not even the point. I have never seen niggas have this kind of energy.
Wow.
When their homeboys walk up into the party with Rebecca. Like I ain't never said when they homeboys come around with Kylie, I don't see them having that same energy.
What's the Cash Me Outside girl's name? What's her name? Catch Waste. Me outside. Oh, we
don't. That's her name.
Oh gosh.
What happened to her? What she got her?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying LaVon shows up to the function with her nobody on his arm.
Nobody says nothing.
It's quiet in the church.
Travis Scott showed up with his very small premature braids and Kylie Jenner and niggas congratulated him for securing the bag. Like, I have never seen niggas have this kind of energy. They were saying all kinds of wretched shit. Oh, Megan Thee Stallion was driving the boat. Little did we know it was the Mayflower. Like, it was all, I was like, wow, really? All because she decided to do whatever the fuck she wants to do as a grown woman. And like I said, it don't matter that this young man looks wet. It does not matter. you're not the one who's letting him kiss up on your cheek. You're not the one who's holding his hand.
I mean, if we want to call that a kiss, that I was disturbed.
That was a puppy slob.
I would absolutely fight you.
That was canine-ish. I said, oh, he's just going to eat her whole side of her face off. But, you know, I don't know how they do. But y'all don't keep that same energy. Why is it all of a sudden so detestable for her to be involved with him and y'all don't keep that same energy for the niggas around you?
I mean, it's an interesting turn of events, I must
say. I'm not saying it needs to be done, period. I'm just saying,
I'm just saying, if it's good for the goose,
you don't realize how much you actually hate black women. And I just really want, I would be so much more comfortable if you all would just come out and be like, you know, I just don't bang with black women like that. At least I know exactly where you're coming from. But never mind. I don't have to associate with ashy ass niggas like that. That was just, I was like, I had to put this out there. Curtis, out of his mind, Jackson was honored with a star in Hollywood on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Yes, he was. And Eminem gave a rare speech in honor of him. He sure is. He talked about there.
Does he look well?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a slow.
I mean, he doesn't look unwell. I don't really know how he responds to the sun, but he doesn't look unwell. Oh man, I used to be a big Eminem fan. That is crazy. But Marshall Mathers LP was one of my favorite albums. Anyway, yes. I then I thought about all of the really awful problematic lyrics that were in that album, and I was like, damn, I was in a dark place. But he gave a rare speech in honor of 50 Cent being honored and talked about their longtime friendship and, you know, how he don't never want to be on the bad side because 50 Cent is, he's like, that nigga is relentless. Obviously, he did not say nigga.
He's diva.
He is a bully. So, but he makes me laugh as an awful person, because he is an awful person. And I don't, he's a terrible person, but he has funny moments. So there was a Super Bowl.
There was.
And there was a Super Bowl halftime show.
If that's what we're calling it.
And I saw a tweet that I thought summed up the halftime show perfectly. So I'm going to pull that up.
Okay.
This is from a young woman by the name of Jessica Salgado, and her @ is Jessica Star. She said, number one, J-Lo's an amazing performer. Number two, Shakira's been a powerhouse for decades. Number three, let's not forget that they accepted the halftime show after numerous black artists said no. Number four, Bad Bunny wore a do-rag. Number five, no Afro-Latinx artists were part of the show. All things can be true.
At the same time.
And I said, you know what? That was it right there. I am not Puerto Rican. However, you know, if we are allies, especially in the diaspora. You know what I'm saying? And the United States has treated Puerto Rico like trash. Like trash. Look at all of the awful things that have happened.
The United States is currently treating Puerto Rico
as always
like trash.
Continues to. Yes. From the extremely high taxes, they have the highest taxes, to and I'm grateful for Santana as my business partner and as one of my good friends who has continued to educate me about all of the injustices that are happening on the island. You know, and they have the highest taxes. We see how they've been responded to when natural disasters have hit. The United States continues to treat Puerto Rico like Cinderella, and it's not right. And so I feel like when you have an artist, especially somebody as big as J-Lo, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to take this time to speak on behalf of your island and speak up as an advocate. If you're going to be an advocate, don't just do it with the colonized version of the Puerto Rico flag. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to take away from her daughter's big moment or anything. I'm not even speaking on that. And again, Bad Bunny wore, why did you wear a durag? And I like Bad Bunny. I love Bad Bunny, actually.
I don't know Bad Bunny. Who Bad Bunny is.
I've been working out to many Latin playlists, cardio playlists.
Oh, well, that was the young man in mm-hmm. the, okay.
That was Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny.
Now I get it.
I'm like, what are y'all doing? What's happening over here? So that's not to take away from anybody's talent or anything like that, but let's use this as a moment to open our mouths to speak on behalf of things that need to be spoken on and use our power for good. And like I said, that's not to take away, because I know a lot of people like to pop up and they want to debate and do all of this. No, but let's talk about the facts. Let's talk about what's happening on the island. Do you even know politically what's happening on the island? You don't. So if you should go and educate yourself, and, you know, persons like Jennifer Lopez with the status that she has might want to use her power for better.
Well, you know, it's an opportunity for us to think critically about how we, and I think this we'll talk about this on next week's show, but thinking about productive ways for holding individuals who we are in relationship with, or individuals who have the responsibility mm-hmm, of large mm-hmm. platforms, how do we hold them accountable for their yes. behaviors in ways that are productive and move the conversation forward? We're going to talk about that at great length. I think society has given us a lot of examples of, behavior. I mean, some of, individuals that we hold in high regard mm-hmm. or esteem have given us lots of examples of problematic behavior that needs to be addressed in some way, right? So, like, as consumers, as people who are fans, as individuals who have supported your career, I think it's fair for us to be able to ask you questions of your practice, right? Especially when you make decisions for how your platform will be used. And a lot of times those decisions have implications for us, right? So we're going to get to this next week. Jade and I were just talking before we started recording about like planning out content. I think that would be a good Black History Month conversation to have around, what are some of the ways calling people out versus calling people in? And then calling people too, right? So we're gonna talk about all of that.
Yes, we are.
And we're gonna have a word for Sister Lopez,
Sean Carter,
Sean Combs, and also we've recently been made aware by Khalees, Pharrell Williams. So we're going to have some come to Jesus yeah. moments. I mean, there's lots of things we could talk about. I'm thinking about Oprah and this Russell Simmons documentary. Mm. We're talking about, like, even all the way up to R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. What are ways that we're holding these individuals accountable? Are we doing so in equitable ways? Are we doing so in ways that make sense, in ways that matter? So next week, we're gonna have a real deep dive into some of this stuff, and it's gonna be good.
You all know I'm a good fan of Get That Nigga Out of Here. That's not cancel culture. That's like actual life practices. Get that nigga out of here. But we are gonna have a productive conversation about that, which will include Colin and Nessa and their feelings of Jay-Z. So we will save all of that for next week. And then last on the trash, speaking of Colin and Nessa. There was an anti-police brutality commercial that aired during the Super Bowl.
Okay,
I didn't see it, but I read about it, and it wasn't lost on me that that was a big old pile of hypocritical bullshit. You all are still doing all of this with Colin, and yet and still, you know, you now want to air anti-police brutality commercials. Like, 2 + 2 = 4, but somehow right now it's equaling 7, and it just doesn't make sense to me. So
we've got a lot of work to do. I mean, before we get out of the trash, though, and this is not really trash, but I mean, didn't really get as much out of the Super Bowl or the halftime show.
Nah, I wouldn't really.
But congratulations to the Chiefs of Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's who won.
Kansas City, Kansas. Yes, and your president acknowledged. He gave a shout out to the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, and said that they were representing the state of Kansas.
Oh, I did see that. What a fucking idiot.
But I mean, you know, somebody got his thumbs together, and he removed the tweet and reposted it with a correct state. But it was just interesting. But all that, needless to say, yeah, I didn't get as much out of that or the Super Bowl halftime show. But I did get my life watching the premiere of The Masked Singer that followed. I know that you didn't see it.
I saw the clip.
My God. I just feel like this is a Black History Month moment where Weezy was the robot. I mean, I'm sorry if I've spoiled it for those who've yet to watch. But
I think they all know by now.
I feel like I knew immediately.
The voice.
I felt like the voice was pretty much undeniable.
I listened to Lil Wayne mixtapes, Hard Body, from like 2004 to like 2007.
I said, if it's not Lil Wayne, it is someone who is trying to.
You know, I ride for my motherfucking niggas. Most likely, I'm gonna die with my finger on the trigger.
I said, that right there ain't nobody but Weezy.
It wasn't,
baby.
And then he popped up with those. Whew, what? Spaghetti is on his head.
I mean, it seems that he's cut his locks into a bob.
Yeah,
of sorts.
It's like channeling Whoopi.
I'm like, you know, Weezy. I'm like, this is Weezy's like dad version.
This is like Zwoopy.
This is what it's giving me, dad. I'm like, he's got a cute carpool bob in these.
He's
locks.
Absolutely a dad, and apparently a good one. None of the mothers have anything negative to say as it pertains to his fathering. You know
I'm
what
with
I'm
it.
Saying? No future.
I'm with it.
So, yeah, no, that actually brought me joy. And his smile makes me laugh.
I mean, it was just so bright and big. And I'm like, Weezy is having
fun. And I was
fun.
A fan. I was a huge fan.
On The Masked
Dedication
Singer.
The drought is over.
It's just
one,
good to see
three.
Him back
I
and
love
doing
it.
Things.
I love it. Because for a long time, it was touch and go.
It's good to see him. Yeah. I mean, we were all concerned. But we're glad to see that Weezy is back to being Weezy, and he's back to being himself. When Robin Thicke was like, Weezy is one of the highest selling artists in the world, and he was like, that's right. He was like, better than Elvis. He's Blue suede shoes.
Robin Thicke was on Lil Wayne's album before. Shooter.
He said, I've done 5 songs with Lil Wayne. So he was really upset. He was upset that he didn't catch it. But
I don't know how they didn't.
They
must have been listening with their feet.
They said it was Steve-O. They said it was Steve-O.
Steve-O.
And I was like, what?
From Jackass?
I was like, first of all, there was no way. Even the robot's mannerisms. I was like, there's no way that there is a white man in that costume. There's no way.
No.
I was stunned that he was voted off so quickly because I had another pick to go.
Oh, I didn't see the whole show, but I saw the Lil Wayne clip.
You gotta watch so that we can talk about it. I'm pretty confident that Mrs. Monster is Shaka Khan.
Oh, I did read that. Okay, so you know what? Okay, we'll just have a fun thing weekly. I'll watch and then we'll talk about it. That'll be part of our little trash segment. We'll talk about the Masked Singer, who we think is who, and who should be voted off the island.
And Jamie Foxx was a guest judge.
You know, it's not lost on me that Jamie Foxx was on Gold Digger with Kanye.
Oh,
and
still
he's
mad?
In
we're holding grudges.
Not holding grudges. It's just like, wow, prophecy. But anyway.
I just really feel like we just have to acknowledge the talent That is
no, no, no. I love Jamie Foxx.
He's so good. I mean, he will. I think he was better at being Ray Charles than
absolutely,
Ray Charles.
Absolutely. Let me feel your wrists.
And Ray is one of my favorite movies
absolutely.
Of all time.
Those jingling, when those little bottles, when he starts seeing the little fuzzies of the little bottles, oh, my heart. But I loved so Ray. I love Jamie Foxx. I have a thing for going back. I watch Living Single like nobody's business. The way you feel about Different World is how I feel about Living Single, although you also feel very strongly about Living Single.
I do.
Me and Tristan recently started going back and watching a few episodes of the Jamie Foxx show.
It's
that
so
nigga is
good.
A fool. Like, he is a fool.
I mean, my favorite episodes of all times are always the ones where he's singing.
Yes, always.
Employee of the Month is still, if you want to take me out, if you just want to get a laugh out of me, just say Employee of the Month. Like, every time he said Employee of the Month, he sung it like that. He'd be like, y'all just mad because this week, I am the Employee of the Month. Ooh, it sends me. Okay.
No,
let's do this show, honey.
Because I love old black shows. Oh, my God. Oh my God, we're gonna have a conversation about that one day. But on one of the days where we need something light and airy. But let's get on to this shout out.
My sister's popping right now, like.
So I wanted to do the shout out a little differently. You all know, like I said, it is Black History Month, but it is Black History Eternity. Bear me forever, infinity. But in honor of Black History Month, at the Human Rights Campaign Gala here in New York, it was revealed that East River State Park will be renamed after Marsha P. Johnson. And so if you don't know who Marsha P. Johnson is, she was a transgendered woman who spent her life fighting for LGBTQIA plus rights. And so the state park's going to be the first one ever named after an openly LGBTQ person in New York. And so I thought that was really awesome. It would really behoove you to read up on Marsha P. Johnson. She has done so much for the LGBTQIA community. The uprising at Stonewall. And also she's done a lot of advocate work in creating shelters and places of safety for those in the community who need help. And so she's just an icon. And I love that she's being honored in this way. And so I wanted to shout her out, actually, as our shout out this week.
I love to see it. I am with it as well.
And did you have something to interest?
I do. I would like to share with you all some information that was shared with me that I think may be of interest to you, especially if you live and or reside in the DMV. A friend of mine reached out to me about a project that she's working on, recently got her real estate license and is working to support Black women in their endeavors and steps toward home ownership in the area. And this coming Saturday, February 8th, she will be hosting a home buyer brunch seminar where participants can receive education from experts to empower, equip, and excite you about the next steps towards home ownership with confidence and peace of mind. So you will learn how grants and multiple financial options can provide an opportunity for you to purchase a home with little or no money down. Food and refreshments will be provided, and you can RSVP at coalitionseminar.com. Coalitionseminar.com. We'll provide a link to my friend's name is Nina Dowd. She's hosting the brunch along with Summer Davis and Carrie Real. The link to Nina's Instagram will be provided in the description box. If you are in the DMV area and want to take part of this brunch, I think you should. It's going to be some awesome information, and the food that will be there will be free. So again, RSVP at coalitionseminar.com.
Y'all go get your pinwheels and get your knowledge. You know, they love a pinwheel at a real estate function. You know they do them little turkey roll-ups. That's no shade. I'm just playing. But go ahead. All of the information will be in the description box, so make sure you check it out. And we can move right along to our kitchen table talk. Valentine's Day will be here before you know it, and time's running out to send your Valentine a one-of-a-kind, memorable, unexpected gift. If you want to wow your Valentine this year, send them bite-sized cupcakes from Baked by Melissa. So Baked by Melissa sent Kia and I some cupcakes. And the best thing about the cupcakes, besides the taste, which I will get to in a second, was the fact that I opened them and I put them on the counter in the kitchen. And so when my husband and my child came in, they were like, where'd these come from? And they were hype boots because they were so aww, cute and packaged so beautifully. So then so I got down to eating them. The chocolate caramel brownie. Delicious, moist, and I'm not even a huge chocolate girl. The dulce de leche was one of my favorites. Everybody knows a good vanilla, classic vanilla with sprinkles is delicious. They had so many white chocolate cookies and cream. I'm not even a white chocolate girl, and it wasn't overwhelming. It was just, it was good. And then the packaging was so cute. Like, you were not going to mess up if you get some. So just in time for Valentine's Day, choose from white chocolate cookies and cream, red velvet, because you know y'all love that, milk chocolate, dulce de leche, and more, plus vegan and gluten-free options. I told you all what my favorite flavor was. Baked by Melissa treats are adorable and delicious. They're perfectly bite-sized, so you can have one in every flavor, and you'll want to. Baked by Melissa offers 1- and 2-day shipping nationwide. The last day for standard shipping for Valentine's Day is February 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Valentine's Day, send your loved ones the perfect gift. Baked by Melissa. Go to bakedbymelissa.com and use promo code GROWN to get 15% off your order. Take advantage of this special offer for podcast listeners. That's 15% off at bakedbymelissa.com, promo code GROWN.
Designed with measurements from millions of women, Third Love's bra styles are made to fit your life. They have over 80 bra sizes, but know that the only one that matters is yours. So like many women, I have a breast size. I have divergent breast sizes. And Third Love is really, I will honestly venture to say that Third Love is the only bra that has ever fit me properly in all of my absolutely life. I absolutely live for this quiz. And at first I was a little off put by the nature of some of the questions because I felt like I didn't know the answer. And I actually had to like go and look at my breasts to be able to get my responses. But I mean, it was all worth it in the end because the bras that they have sent me have literally been so comfortable. I don't have to worry about extra third boob or, you know, my strap sliding down my shoulders. They just really fit me. They fit my lifestyle. They're cute, they're comfortable, and I just couldn't be more pleased with them. And I'm going to be wearing Third Love bras for a really good long time. This is hands down the most comfortable bra you'll own, with straps that won't slip, tagless labels, and lightweight memory foam cups that mold to your shape. Plus, returns and exchanges are free and easy. In fact, thanks to Third Love's perfect fit promise, every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they are offering our listeners 15% off your very first order. Go to thirdlove.com/grown right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/grown for 15% off today. All right. Seeing how we have all survived the first year of January 2020, I thought that we could benefit from just a conversation about curating joy in our life. Mm-hmm. I've been reading up on things just in my own kind of healthcare and self-care and just wellness, being intentional about those things for myself. And I came across this awesome little video. It was a TED Talk about what brings you joy. How do we find joy? So I thought it would be cool for us to have a conversation about that, because I think one of the things that happens is that people tend to conflate or confuse joy and happiness and use those terms interchangeably. But happiness is conditional. You know, we're happy about
it. I'm sorry. I was singing El Green in my head, but remixing the words. Joy and happiness.
and make it do wrong.
Make you do
and
right.
Make it do right.
Make it come home early.
Yeah.
Make it stay out.
Oh my gosh.
He love. I'm on for love. He.
The right Reverend Al Green. Albert Green.
I had an uncle who had a, who like had like a Mr. Softy truck and would only play Al Green songs.
You told me that, and I think that that is the blackest thing I think I've ever.
But he lives in Mexico.
In
it's
all
so
of
weird.
My black life.
Anyway,
I mean.
Anyway, I completely took all of that down several roads.
It's okay.
Continue.
It's all right. We're talking about you know, our tendency to conflate and joy and conflate joy and happiness and use those terms interchangeably, when in fact the truth is, you know, joy is a choice, right? Happiness is mm-hmm. conditional. We're happy about specific things, you know, maybe connected to or make us happy. But joy is something that we choose. We choose joy despite our circumstances. And that being said, the TED Talk, which was called Where Joy Hides and How to Find It, it was by Ingrid Fattel Lee, who is a designer. And she talked about her work in understanding, you know, what joy is. She was told that at the end of her first year review, she was told that her work made her reviewer joyful. She was like, you know, your work brings me joy. Mm. And she didn't really know how to take that as feedback or, you know, how do I use that constructively in terms of making, like, what do I need? Like, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Because designers are supposed to make things efficient and easy. And, you know, they're supposed to be like utility, you know, in my work. But, you know, it's good that my work brings you joy, you know, as my mm-hmm. professor. But, like, she was just fascinated by that, you know. And she, as a designer, became obsessed with understanding the practicality mm-hmm. of joy and went about understanding what are some of the things in life, physical attributes of life, aesthetic things of life that elicit the sense of joy in individuals. So it really just got me thinking about, I mean, you know, and that work really kind of informed her work going forward on how to kind of curate and design joy, you know, infuse those things into her design to make people, make sure that her work, her design projects made people continue to feel good. So I thought that that was, it really just was like an aha moment for me, because it was just like, wow, I never thought about joy in such a practical way. And I thought it would be good for us to think about what brings us joy. And with that being said, what are some things that we can do to kind of infuse joy in our lives when we are feeling stressed out and things? So I took to the interwebs and have some questions here for you. I thought that that could frame our conversation about finding joy.
Okay, I'm interested to hear what the internet has to say.
So I asked really quickly two questions on the Twitter and the Instagram. I asked, what does joy feel like to you? And then I asked folks to weigh in and name three things that bring them joy. Not so many people responded to what joy feels like, but we got lots and lots of responses around things that bring them joy. So I'm going to read, we got The Audacity at Loves Jazz says, joy feels like warmth. It covers you but doesn't overwhelm you. It fills you up and then pours out all around you. I thought that was
that
really
beautiful.
At Natural Curls and Curves, no, at Hot, Hot A Monet, like Janelle Monet, but Hot. She said, joy feels like peace of mind and a feeling of contentment within myself for no reason other than existing. At Reckless Princess says, joy feels like acceptance of everything in my life, even if it's not what I imagined it would be. Let's see here. At Her Truths 100 said, joy makes me feel like I'm flying. My happiness cannot be contained to this space. Everyone will feel it. Let's see here. At pretty ass Swisher.
Yes.
Says,
tribe.
I know, right?
Yes.
Your people. Joy feels like a sense of happiness and peace of mind throughout my entire body. Anastasia Beaverhausen,
yes.
At CKev Run says, joy feels like lightness, peace, and euphoria. And at Joyful CC says, joy feels like the warmth and that the sun gives when it shines on my face, the perfect cozy sense.
Y'all,
of
some
warm.
Ethereal ass niggas. I was thinking Aren't about I was thinking about what brings me joy, and I was like, wow, this is really logistical.
I mean, I don't think that there's a wrong answer, though. But like, what in lieu of what brings you joy, what does joy feel like to you?
Oh, wow. Joy to me feels like, yeah, nigga. It just feels like an exhale. It does. It feels like contentment. It feels like I'm just in a place of peace. And I know that the moment that I'm in and what I'm doing is exactly what I should be doing, and what's happening for me is exactly what should be happening. And it's just kind of like a feeling of just like, all right.
That's so dope, right? Joy is a piece of no pressure. Joy is a piece of a place of no pressure. It's a place of ease. It's a place of delight. Yeah. Like that, like, you know, a place of relief, a place of like restoration for me. Like, and I say it's a place because I feel like it's a place I intentionally have to go, because I might be sitting in some shit, but I have to go, to the place of joy. It's the place where I feel cared for. It's the place where I feel at peace, where I don't have any worries or concerns. It is joy where I feel like I'm all right. It's like I can, like you said, like I can just release all the tension in my body. And it is a place where I just feel good. Like, and that's, and we need more of that. We need lots more of that in 2020. So let's move on to the things that bring you joy. These are great. These are interesting. Instagram had some really, really good things say about the things that bring you blacks.
I'm gonna take a shot every time somebody said dick.
I don't know if I have any. Oh my goodness. Oh wait, my Instagram.
I was like, I thought I was wheezing.
But the sound is off, so that's just, you know how you double tap the thing.
Glitch.
Okay. Mr. Refine said flats, drums, and hot sauce. Three things that make bring me joy.
And cheese.
Faith. Yes. Faith. Theodosia says music, naps, and food. Ken Miss San Diego says sleep, Haribo gummy bears, and a good word from Pastor Battle. Come on. Carletta Renee says wings and my direct deposit.
Yes.
CO Joe Fish says paid bills, energy to get stuff done, good food I didn't have to cook.
Amen.
Lolo in the 2000s said sleep, good food, and warmth. Forever Akeem says weed, the Clark sisters, and discounts.
Wow, you sound like me. I love the Clark sisters.
Come on, Clark sisters. Spodiote says spa visits, cackles with the homies, and the Golden Girls. Ubuntu Dream says Jesus, candles, and sleep.
Yes, I love candles.
Mr. Grandiosity says Anita Baker, wings fried hard with blue cheese and a goose dirty martini. That's Mr. Grandiosity.
Of course, Mr. Grandiosity likes martinis.
Grey Goose martinis at that. Mrs. MB says silence, shopping, and grace.
Yes,
Miss Bond to you. What up, Whitney? Says really good food and drinks, and laughing. And when something in my research clicks, come on, that's right. Let's see. Unorthodox says Jesus, payday, and grandma's peach cobbler.
I should have taken a shot for every time somebody said Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Effortless.beauty says beaches, QT with the family, and the sun. Cultivated Naturally says the dope song I've never heard, brunch on a patio with aviators and not going to work. L Boogie says hiking, traveling, and good food. Nurse Chandra says food, traveling, and shopping. The Boonie Breakdown. What up, Boonie? She says journaling, laughing, and sending my friends love notes. PG version. Boonie probably meant dick, but
all right, there goes another shot.
let's see. So Almondy, hey Inga, says freshly sharpened pencils, knowing that the Lord loves me, and the first 3 minutes after an orgasm.
The order. The order of those things.
Oh man, we are just such a complex people.
I love
people.
It. Duality is a I thing. Shout out to Around the Way Girls.
Candice O Beauty says, complete silence, the sun beaming on me, and a belly laugh that makes me cry.
That is a good feeling.
Cruella de Trill, yes. 42, says naps, a cool, cold room, and a good night's rest. Mm. His name, Anthony, says music, Wingstop, and Tarjay. GracefulDesigns.co says chicken wings. Chicken is huge. My bed and new sneakers. Megan Monique says General Tso's chicken. Same. My bed and the office reruns. Let's see. Silence, weed, and crab legs. That's who is.
Hey, girl.
Is.
Hey, Jade.
In hindsight, 1906. That's Gerard. Gerard says waking up and seeing my direct deposit. I know that's
always
right.
A good feeling.
Yeah, we got lots and lots. But I'm gonna ask you, sis. What are three things that bring you joy?
Y'all thought I was gonna say weed, and I'm and not. These are thank you.
I thought you were going to say weed.
Just because y'all thought I was going to say weed. One thing that brings me joy is when I have a plant, which I have a lot of plant babies.
Yes, you do.
And they're thriving. Something about making sure and being able to see the needs of each plant. And knowing that I'm doing the things that that they want, that's feeding them, you know, that makes them happy, it brings me joy. Because I'm like, my plant babies are doing well.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's something that brings me immense joy.
You're such a plant mom.
I love my plant babies. And it makes me sad when they're not doing well. I talk to them. I play them music. You know what I'm saying? I lift up the shades in the morning. I say good morning to them. I thank them, which I haven't done in a while and I need to do. So that brings me joy. One of those real small feelings that just brings you joy that you forget about until you do it. Nigga.
My Lord today.
Doing all of this in a Ford Fusion. Is when I take a shower. I take a shower and I have fresh sheets on my bed. And I
are the same.
And I get in my bed with shaved legs in new sheets. Nigga, there is
shaved legs. I'm gonna add one. I'm gonna raise you one. A fresh shower, a fresh shave and or wax.
Yeah, I don't do that.
And a pedicure. Girl, you talk about good, like that is ain't no smooth. Feeling like getting into some freshly laundered sheets where your skin has been adequately exfoliated.
Oh, my God. Ooh.
It is just a newfound. I'm sorry. I'm cutting into
No. These are like, this conversation brings me joy. And then another thing that brings me joy, here's where the Virgo comes out. When I knock things off my to-do list, when I'm feeling productive,
accomplishment,
it brings me. So, you know, I got some bills paid today. I, you know, got in my storage closet and started doing some heavy reorganizing. And I was like, okay, I need to order another shelving unit for this corner. And this is what I'm going to do with this stuff. And when I step back, even, you know, I may not feel it in the moment. It is that feeling of gratification brings me a feeling of joy of like getting things done. Like you say, yeah, accomplishment, productivity. brings me a level of joy that I cannot explain.
That's awesome. And I mean, you guys did exactly what I thought you were going to do. I'll name mine before I do that. So I will say, I love making my grandparents, like my family laugh, my grandparents, like especially, but when, like, because I feel like you ever, like, I really value someone who laughs from their belly, like laughs and mean it, like somebody who really, and you know, I come from a very silly people. Like, we know how to have a good time and entertain ourselves. So when I get to make them laugh, like really laugh, that is like that feeling of like ease and joy that we were talking about, like that brings me
that is joy. A good feeling.
Yes. I will also like to say that I like to feel pretty. And I hope that that's not vain, but I like doing things that make me feel pretty, whether that be like doing my makeup or getting my nails done or washing my hair or giving myself a facial. Those things give me a sense of like, and I don't know, I don't know if that counts, because I do feel like that's, I don't know if that's vain or messed up or that makes me whatever, but that's, feeling pretty is something that brings me joy. So like new clothes, that's where I fall into the trap. Like things, or even like repurposing or wearing something old in a new way. Those kinds of things, changing my hair, those kinds of things make me feel joyful and like light in my spirit. And this is going to sound, well, I don't know, maybe not. Just really, really good hugs.
Yeah.
Like good hugs. Like hug me like you,
especially from a healthy person.
And I have to be, yeah, or like just someone who I know and I really believe they genuinely care for me and they want to connect with me in that way. Like a good hug, and when someone knows that I need it, and maybe that's because I've been living by myself in a way, like I feel like I lack, you know, in many respects. I don't get as much physical contact as I once did when I lived closer to my family and, you know, my loved ones. And I think as we get older, it's just kind of like a personal space thing. Like we don't hug on each other like we used to. But yeah, those are the three things that give me joy. So Ingrid in her talk, really she did some awesome dope research around like understanding. So there's these scientific studies where people looked at the science of joy, thinking like the physical responses that represent the feeling of joy, and those studies found that there are certain sort of aspects of life and things that, you know, are not respected. They're not like relational. They're not like you know, by virtue of things that we own or even have proximity to sometimes, but we can like the argument was that joy is felt. It's like a sensual thing. So it's like what we perceive. So certain images, and certain like, you know, color and texture and patterns, those things elicit feelings of joy. Like, like when people were shown images of round things, bright things, things that are symmetrical in nature or design, pops of bright color, things that represent exuberance or emotion, and things that represent abundance, right? Those are the things that elicit the feeling of joy in us as human beings. So if we're looking at, you know, she used the analogy of there being one confetto, which happens to be the singular of confetti, right?
Confetto.
So if there's one one confetto on a paper, that is not going to get any sort of response out of us. But seeing multiple confetti, like, you know, different colored dots and, you know, in that random way that confetti exists, that is something like just that image elicits the physical response of joy. So that being said, the aesthetics of joy, joyful things, bright colored things, round things, the research shown that cylindrical things and things with curves actually bring us ease, where the angular things represents anxiety or make us anxious, right? So we learn like how we learn that pointy things can mm-hmm. be harmful. We have to avoid, like, you know, those kinds of pointy things, and they're often used as weapons. So, like, our body physically tenses up when we see angles and hard lines, but there's a sense of ease and peace when we see round things. So, like, given all of this data, what's really dope, right? So she was talking about, why is it that, you know, given that what we know about the actual, these actual qualities that visually elicit, these actual visual properties that elicit joy, why is it that, you know, our work environments and places where we learn and places where we get well, like the hospital mm-hmm. or the doctor's office, are usually these very sterile mm-hmm. places that don't exhibit some of these qualities. So, I thought it was really dope, and it got me thinking about, like, okay, what if we can't access chicken wings fried hard, or, you know, what if there is a glitch and we don't get our direct deposit? What are things that are not necessarily things that we can buy or things that we can own, or things that we can actually physically handle? What are things that what are those kinds of things that would take us to a joyful place? You know, when we find ourselves in moments of distress or anxiety or concern. So I'm going to repose the question to you and challenge you to think about what are some visual things or you know, things that you perceive through your senses that would bring you that same feeling? What smells, what okay. sounds, what colors, what things? And then, you know, we can talk about how, given that, thinking about these things in intentional ways, what are some changes that we can make to try to infuse joy into our lives on a daily basis?
So if I'm thinking about sounds and things like that, that bring me joy, there is almost no better feeling to me than a very dreary day where it's raining and I have nowhere to go.
Mm.
It doesn't matter if I, well, no, it doesn't matter if I have groceries or I don't have, I know that I don't have nowhere to go, and I will figure out, like, something small like that. And it makes me feel, it gives me a complete feeling of ease, because when I know it's not a day where I have anywhere to go, I have anything to do, and it's that kind of day outside, I automatically just feel relaxed. Automatically. And I don't feel guilty for not going outside for the day, because it's like, this is kind of an excuse from the universe for me to be able to just kind of lay back. And as a kid, anytime anybody got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, took a shower, the sound of the shower always gave me, I always had this really warm feeling that would rush over my body, and I would just get really relaxed and go back to sleep. So the sound of, like, water especially, but shower, something about the shower in that first moment where they turn the shower on, I could feel this little shock go through my body, and then I just, everything would go out. Let's see, what else? Is that kind of along the lines of what you were looking for?
Okay. Yeah.
Just make sure I was going in the right direction.
What are things that you might like, you talked about plants. So, like, if plants give you joy, like, give me an example of something else that you might, like, if it's missing in your house or in your space, what is something that you might consider, you know, like, if you needed to add, let's say you had to curate, like, a joyful corner in a room in your house, what would you put in?
I'm creating that in my room right now. It's a seating area.
Very nice.
It's a seating area where I'll have some hanging plants, and floor pillows. And, it's essentially an area where I would love to be, where I'm not, you know, because sometimes you want to go to the couch. Sometimes you want your privacy. You want to be in your bedroom, but you don't want to be on your bed, right? So I wanted to create a corner where it would be comfortable to read or to meditate or to journal or to even just watch TV, and it just be a complete, like, comfort corner. So I already got a rug. I'm gonna get some floor pillows, hang some plants, and that will kind of be that corner. Literally, that's the literal corner, but that's what it represents, because I want it to be an area that I can go to, that I know when I'm in that area, I can relax in whatever form or fashion that I want to do that day. If I need to meditate, if I just want to lay back and watch some TV and don't want to do it on my bed, or Noah's occupying the TV in the front, I can go and do it in this area. But it'll just be an area that is designated for that type of environment.
I love it. I think for me, you know, I love, and I it's literally an obsession now that I think that I'm growing to accept. But when they said, when Ingrid was talking about the research that talked about how patterns and spherical things mm-hmm. bring joy, I really kind of felt that.
That makes complete sense with you.
Because I was like, who loves a polka dot more than
nobody on this planet?
I mean, there are polka dots on my walls. There are polka dots on my clothing. And I mean, like, just like, you know, I have this beautiful graphic rug. And even in my office, like, my office is also black and white. But when I think about, like, you know, there's definitely more that I could do there. So like you said, I have Maurice Greenleaf here. But I think that I need a work plant, son, yes. Now. Because I'm there a lot more. Well, I'm there just as much as I am here. And I think that having, you know, Maurice's.
You should get Maurice Jr. because snake plants are the best plants for the oxygen.
I honestly feel like, you know, I might could take a little piece of Maurice because he's growing out of this whole thing.
And you need to repot him.
I mean, he's just. I do need to repot him, but that's something that Keisha was going to work on with me, but now she's having a whole ass baby.
She might be. She might be by myself right now, actually. Like right in this second.
but yeah, I definitely feel like I could use more plants. And then I do love black and white things, but I also feel like black and white also looks amazing against a pop of color.
Oh, it does.
So in my apartment, like my pop of color is green. I have two, I have green and I have gold, but gold is also like a neutral. So that's like my metallic pop. And then I have like green as my color pop. So I could work on, you know, just being more intentional about integrating more color in my space and just having pretty things to look at. So I wanted us to just have this conversation in hopes to get us all thinking about ways that, like, you know, there's little small things that we can do to infuse more joy in our lives. I mean, and sometimes that's by virtue of buying something or doing something or having mm-hmm. something. But other times it could just be, you know, even if you don't have any money, there should be something that you can do or look up or read about or find on the internet or even just go outside and experience getting, you know, exposing yourself to color and warmth and sunlight, just being more intentional about infusing joy, finding joy, unearthing joy that's around us, because we tend to find ourselves, you know, so focused in our workspaces that we don't take time to think about how we can make these spaces, these things, these activities more joyful.
I love it. Yes. I can't. We're going to have this conversation again because there's so many things that bring me joy as we started talking.
Right. So I'm thinking about even something as small as, like, you know, my go-to nail polish is like, you know, nudie pinks with like black and white. But what if I just get some hot pink nails one day? Or like, what if I just do something crazy? You know, but just, you know, just being more intentional about it. So like as this week, you know, progresses, as this month progresses, as we are all navigating the crazy that is society and life, trying to figure out how to be real live adults and manage all of our multiple responsibilities, we also have to be intentional about finding joy in the things that we do. And when joy isn't there, making the choice for joy, and choosing things that bring us joy. So I hope that this was helpful.
Yes.
I just got so much. I'm going to share. I mean, we'll share the TED Talks. I want you guys to hear it and listen to it too. It's really fascinating because it's really the premise of it is that joy is all around us. We just have to be willing to find it and
see it,
you know, and see it. Right. And like it helps inform our choices. It was talking about how, like, schools that have brightly colored walls or fun patterns and murals and things mm-hmm. in the bathrooms or on walls and things, like, students feel safer in those schools and, you know, they're more inspired, you know, versus, you know, thinking about the very sterile, very bland, very vanilla spaces that we find ourselves working and living and breathing and spending most of our time in. So, you know, girl, get you a pretty picture and put it in a frame for your desk, or, you know, get you a fun colored pillow and put it in your desk chair, or, you know, just, you know, find a way to spark some joy. Get you a fun colored speaker, a Beats pill or a Bose or something less expensive, girl. Just, I mean, they have them in all these different bright colors and awesome little things.
Every once in a while, when I used to have a desk, I used to buy myself a new pencil holder. You know, something,
you know,
cute.
I just love that kind of stuff. Going into Home Goods, you can get you a cute little something for $5.
I had a space.
You know what I'm saying? Just making it yours, making it yours. And I think that that's one of the things that has brought me such joy and why I'm so comfortable in my home. This little studio apartment, this little dorm room that I live in is just enough space for me, but I don't feel like cramped or confined here because I have made this space my own. And I know everything about it. I got my little oil diffuser and I know how to make it feel like I want to feel in here. I'm thinking about, you know, that stupid fluorescent light in my office. I think I'm going to get myself a nice lamp and some more pictures and things to land to put on the walls. I think there's things that I want to do, right? Fabrics. I want to play around and kind of make the space more joyful, at least joyful to me, because if I got to be in there, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours
Listen,
a day,
that's how
then I
feel.
Need to be comfortable.
Comfortable.
I'm going to get me a little area rug or something furry to put under my feet.
I just realized how important it is for my home to be my space. And I realize also, like, how much fucking dick.
It's okay. I mean, we are accustomed to the noise.
They are working my nerves tonight with these itty bitty ass engines, and these little cars, these big engines and these little cars. But I have realized also how much I have aspired to have a black auntie home. And so I love all the rattan, and I do like to mix the mediums. You know, I might have this might be a contemporary piece, but this might be traditional. I like traditional pieces. I like rattan pieces. I have kitchen beads. I have, yes.
Like you are so
like
1978
when you walk through to the kitchen. So,
You're so Erykah Badu.
And I love it because when I walk in my space, especially when it's clean, it's just, it feels so good. And I'm like, this is the space that I've always wanted. And I want more. Like, I want to hang more things on the wall, more tapestries, things like that. And I'll get them. But, you know, I wanted my velvet green couch. I got a velvet green couch. Like, I wanted a gold coffee table. So that's what I got. And it feels good when you have visions for little things and you're able to fulfill, and then you walk into your space and you're just comfortable. It's just, that's a joyful feeling. But we can talk about this all day. We can actually do a part two to this because I feel like there are so many things that bring us joy, and there's probably way more scientific fun facts to find out about joy exuding qualities and abilities and so forth and so on. So thanks for chiming in and letting Kia know what your joys are.
Yeah, that was dope.
Let's move on to this honesty box. If you're looking for a fun way to pass the time while engaging your brain and enjoying breathtaking visuals and a gripping story, your answer is Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a casual game anyone can play. So I love Best Fiends. First of all, I love the colors. We were talking about joy earlier in the episode, and yes. I love the colors in Best Fiends. Also, what's really cute, it's a puzzle game. So it engages your brain. It's a free download. So when I'm on the train, again, I had to ride the train for an hour the other night. Best Fiends was the best way to pass the time because it was a free download. I can use it without internet service. Hello. Noted, most of the characters are bugs and then the antagonists are slugs. So it's fun. It's a fun little game. Best Fiends is a unique and exciting puzzle experience, unlike other puzzle games out there. Plus, they update the game monthly with new levels and events so it never gets old. It also does not require internet to play, so it's great for traveling, like I said, on the train when you don't have any service. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Honestly? Truly.
All right, Honesty Box time. Hi, Dr. Kia and Jade. I love everything about your podcast. From Jade singing to Dr. Kia's petty peeves about her stolen luggage, it is everything I need to get me through my work day. Now on to the story. In September of 2018, I left my husband, moved in with my mother, and filed the paperwork for a divorce. I had to pack up my baby and I and leave while my soon-to-be former spouse was at work because when I previously tried to leave, he physically blocked me from leaving the house. Jump to now, we are 3 weeks away from our divorce trial, and he's been arrested for assaulting me. I get back home to find that my sister has gone to bail him out. When she returns, she has the nerve to start yelling at me. Then my mother joins in. Y'all have taken this too far. What if he loses his job? But here's where things really had me with the full dumb face. My mother says, well, if he loses his job, then he'll have to move in with us. The hell? I basically told them that if this is the case, my child and I will move out. I'm devastated by their response. Not once did my sister ask me if I was okay. When he arrived to pick up our child, they didn't keep that same energy towards him. I believe they feel bad for him because he's not that close with his family. So I ask you, ladies, is it time to distance myself from my mother and sister? I know they will always be blood, but I feel like the damage has been done and there's no coming back from this. Any advice is greatly appreciated.
This is tough. I don't feel like you should distance yourself without a conversation. I think if, I just feel like it may be early for you to just decide, you know, I'm just falling back. I do feel like if this is something that really concerns you, and it should be because it's very concerning. If it were me, I would make an effort to sit down and speak to my mom and my sister and help them to understand how their actions are making me feel, and really try to get an understanding of why they feel what they feel and see if we can find a way to work through this dissonance. If that proves to be unproductive or unsuccessful and the issue persists, then I would, you know, probably proceed with making choices that would be best for me and my child, as you know, as far as I see fit. But this is just like a very delicate situation that shouldn't be entered into haphazardly or lightly. And I don't believe that that's the case. I think you're reaching out because you're trying to be thoughtful about this. And but I will, before I end my little comments and hand it over to Jay, I do feel like this sounds like something that may, if you have access to the resources, it may be a situation that you might want to run by a professional, someone who is actually trained to provide, like, you know, help or resources or give you some strategies for thinking through your next steps with, as far as it's concerned, whether that be like a therapist, a case worker, you know, a social worker, somebody, you know, who was actually certified and licensed to give advice. But what do you think,
sis? I agree with Kia, in which a conversation with your family is essential. Because that's an absurd reaction, honestly, especially to have been assaulted and for your family to not be concerned with what's going on with you, but to come at you. That's really concerning. And I'm a huge fan of you don't owe nobody, you don't owe your family, you don't owe them anything just because they're your family if they're not treating you with love and respect. But I do think that you and your child's well-being is the most important thing here. And if you're in a situation where you're not feeling safe and you're not feeling supported, then that's where it's time to start trying to make other arrangements. But I do think a conversation is key. Like Kia said, initially, to kind of see where you all coming from, because this is my experience and I'm going to let you know how this has affected me. And hopefully it can be a productive conversation. And you all can get somewhere. Maybe there's a point of view that they did not look at from your side. How, I have no clue. I can't answer for them because I do not understand that. But maybe there's something that they haven't considered and you might be able to bring to their attention, so that you aren't put in a complete and uncomfortable situation where you're forced to move out of the home because you don't feel safe and they're doing something as asinine as bringing him into the house. So this is not an easy situation by any means, and I'm really sorry that you're dealing with this. But I do hope that you're able to have a productive conversation with them. But also remember, you don't owe your family anything just because they are family. If they're not supporting you and they're putting you in a way that's actually making you uncomfortable, it is absolutely okay for you to choose yourself and your child and to move in a direction that is best for you and not out of obligation because you are related to somebody. Because if blood is thicker than water, then why the hell are y'all acting like that? So you have every right to choose you and your child first. And that's my thoughts. Please keep us updated on the situation, and we really, really hope and pray for the best for you and for your child, and that you are in the safest environment that you can be in, and that you find some peace and some resolution within this mess. Mm-hmm. Continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. And we can move along to Black woman self-care.
I deserve.
Okay, so in Black woman self-care, in the year of January, mm-hmm. That was the most that I have gone to the gym consistently in a very long time. I missed a couple of days here and there, for pop-up circumstances that I couldn't control or like a work situation, but for the most part I can definitely say I went every week, anywhere between 2 and 4 days to the gym. I still have some, I'm still working on it. I still hate it every morning. I hate getting up and doing it. I have to get up anyway to get Noah ready, but after she leaves it's like, wow, I would really love to not be going to the gym right now. But so it's true what they say. The hardest battle is getting there, because I do feel so gratified after the workout is done. Shout out to Fran, because she's been my accountability partner. She's there 5 days a week. So impressive. I can't do it. I committed to 4, and there have been times when I've done 3 or 2. But I've gone consistently every single week for a month, and I'm very proud of myself for that. So that's my Black woman self-care.
This week I can say that I've been really consistent in maintaining a respectful bedtime.
Yes, that's important. Ooh, that's big.
I've been trying my very best not to stay up all ungodly hours of the night, and to ensure that at minimum I get, 6 to 7 hours of sleep. So I'm really, that's a practice that I've been working on this week, and I'm hoping that I can continue to maintain
that's
that.
Good. And let me tell you something, working out, and I know you've been doing it for a while now, I am tired. Like, I was already tired, but it's a different level. It's a different level of tired. So going to bed is so, and then I also see the difference in workouts depending upon what I eat the day before and how I sleep, hugely on how I sleep. So that's big. As a person who goes to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I totally commend you.
I just don't feel like nobody can.
No,
do it
me
anymore.
Neither.
Like, it's just not mm-mm. set up for that.
No, I've been working on it too, but kudos to you for being consistent with it. Let's move on to these petty peeves.
And I want to be very responsible.
of the things I say to my sister. Because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right. So, in the petty peeves this week, we all know it was the Super Bowl. I understand how price surging, how surging works with, as it pertains to Ubers and Lyfts and so forth. You know, I understand in the rain it surges because it's more people who don't want to be walking. And, you know, when they're New Year's Eve, even, I know not to even look at the app because I'm not going to concern myself with that. But for the Super Bowl yesterday, we went over Crystal Jean's house, and it was more, it's not for the Super Bowl more so as it's for, it's her birthday party for her baby, her 28-3. In which she did make happy birthday 28-3 donuts that were on display. But anyway. So, and I just really kind of go for the food in the fellowship. But so, you know, Fran and I got ready to leave. And so she pulls up her Uber app. And that boy says $167.
You
so she was like, whoa, wait a minute. So she's like, look at this. So I looked and I was like, oh no, buddy. I was like, oh my God. And I had stuff to carry home, so I was frustrated and I was like, are we about to, is this about to be like, nah, no. She was like, I can't pay this. And I was like, nah, like that's just in our spirits, that's not right. Like knowing that no, when there's trains available and things, and granted nobody wants to take a train at 11 o'clock at night, but $167, asinine. So then I go to pull up my Lyft app, and it said, and I bullshit you all not, $298.91.
Are you kidding
me? I was like, the Super Bowl is not here in New York City. It is not in Harlem or in Brooklyn. Like, it's not anywhere in the vicinity. And I understand that people are drinking, and I understand that, you know, you're going to have more people probably requesting Ubers tonight. But a price surge, $298.91, Lyft, that's price gouging. That is taking extreme advantage of people. And like nobody in their right mind, I don't care how much money you have, is going to pay $300. Just like, all right, well, this is what it is. $300. That is absolutely asinine. And it's disgusting that you will surge that much, that you will do this to people who are just working people who are, because if we were rich, we'd have drivers or car services or something along those lines. But people are regular people are catching Ubers and things every day. And y'all gonna price gouge this shit to $300. That's absolutely crazy. So I was disgusted, and I feel like I want to boycott them for a little bit. And we jumped on the train, and luckily it came in 2 minutes when we got to the station, which for 11 o'clock on a Sunday night, that is not bad. And so we got on the train and rode that back to Brooklyn. But I was like, yo, this is nuts. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. So that's my petty peeve this week. Fuck you, Lyft, for trying to charge somebody $300 to go 40 minutes away. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I screenshotted it, and I'm going to post it just so you all can see.
Wholeheartedly agree that is entrapment.
Yeah, like that's like, fucking crazy.
My petty peeve is, you know, I feel like I complain about the same things, but the same things bother me, so I guess we'll be fine. I don't like being told what to do. I was walking in the airport yesterday. And I mean, you know, I feel like I've shared this before, but like, I don't know what it is, but certain people really feel like they have the right to parent you. I don't know. You know, I feel like in some cases I look young, I guess I present young, but even still, I don't feel like I look like a child.
Not by any means.
I feel like you can look at me and see very clearly that I am an adult, especially, I don't know, whatever. Either way. I was walking in the airport yesterday,
just gotten off of the plane. I literally traveled all day. Like, that's the thing about going to California. And I wasn't in LA, so I was in Orange County. So that means that I, you know, it was difficult to find a direct flight. So I had like a connection. So literally I left my hotel room at 7 a.m. And I didn't, you know, get to my home until 8 p.m.
Oh,
you know, with the time change. But either way, I mean, all day long traveling. So I get off the plane. Literally after 12 hours worth of travel, low-key, but not really, eight hours.
Plus commute.
And I'm walking through the airport, and I'm pulling up my phone so that I can get my Uber home. And I'm walking, and I have the phone in my hand, but this is like, you know, people walk with phones all day, every day. This lady is walking. Now, I'm nowhere near her. It's not like we're getting ready to collide or anything like that. This lady is like, watch where you going. And I said, watch your mouth. I said, watch your mouth. She was like, I'm just saying, I don't want you to, you're walking, you're looking in the phone. And I'm just like, first of all, did I look like I was getting ready to bump into something? Was I getting ready to bump into another person? No, but I mean, you're looking at your phone. You should. I'm like, that's for you. That's where
your
mistake is.
You mind your business.
Like, because you should be concerned with yourself. And I'm not a child. This is my phone, my bag, my hand, my feet. And I'm walking to mind my business. And I understand, though. My thing is, like, you know, be suggestive, be polite. Man. Don't give me no directive. I don't know who you are. You don't, you know,
if
I'm
you
saying?
Bumped her, I can understand. Like, I'd probably watch where you're
going. I was
going,
nowhere near the woman. There was like, literally, there was literally like, I was nowhere near her. And I'm like, and what about me specifically? Like, there, I'm not the only person standing in this hallway with my phone in my hand. So,
it
like,
would behoove you, miss, to mind your business.
Don't tell me what to do, bruh. Don't tell me. And I have thoughts and opinions about what people should and shouldn't do all day long. But I understand that it's not my place, and everybody's grown, and I let grown people make their own decisions in 2020. So I might have thought, wow, she should, you know, like, pay attention to where she's going. But I'm not going to yell out at another grown adult.
No, especially if you're not anywhere in my vicinity, then I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah,
if you're not obstructing, like, anything that's getting ready to impact me, I don't care what you're doing. Why do y'all care so much about what other people are doing?
It's so much, and I just wish the people would leave me.
I truly it irritates me when people do things. That's why I get mad in traffic and things like that that are going to impact me. But outside of that, if you want to drive like an asshole and you are 2 miles ahead of me and driving like an asshole, then cool, do what you do. Just stay away from me. I don't care. That is getting grown this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you check out the description box. It always has all of the information that you need, from the advertisement details to the shout outs and everything in between. So, but once again, we thank you all for continuing to support. You see, we're a little bit more engaged on the socials. So make sure you guys check us out, Getting Grown Pod or Getting Grown Podcast, wherever. Twitter, Instagram, but all of that information, again, is in the description box.
Sure, you're right. Thank you guys for listening and for always joining in the conversation. And like Jay said, stay tuned. We're hopefully going to be announcing some things. DMV team Type and Fast is going to be having our brunch on February 20th, and we would love it if you guys would join us. We're hoping to have an awesome conversation about communities as acts of resistance and as restorative practice, and thinking about ways that we hold each other accountable with love and combat things like comparison and competition among us, and the need for us to build community across our respective disciplines and professional pathways. So what I can stand to learn from you as a professional and as an entrepreneur, and what you can stand to learn from me as an academic, and how all of us and all of our respective expertise moves us all forward in our individual projects. So please, please, please come and kick it with us. We're going to have an amazing, awesome, wonderful time. Every Team Type and Fast brunch event so far has sold out. We don't want this one to be an exception. We have worked really hard to continue to grow
the brand and the event to continue to meet your needs. So please come and kick it with us. It's going to be amazing. Put on your best black brunch fit and celebrate black excellence with me and with my sis Jade, because she's
coming. I'll be
too.
In the place. And also, Dopest Dinner Party LA, May 9th. Tickets are on sale at fortheculturecatering@gmail.com through PayPal. One place. We are streamlining many things. And so that is how you can purchase your tickets. That information will also be in the description box. So check us out in D.C. I will definitely be in the house as well as L.A. And then Dopest Dinner Party Amsterdam is coming up April 18th. And there are a couple of tickets left. That is a very intimate dinner. And so there are a couple tickets left for the Amsterdam event. So it's going to be a good time. In the meantime, in between time, sis, tell them what to do.
Make sure that you're drinking your water. It's very important, extraordinarily crucial, especially in the winter months, as is moisturizing your skin and minding the business that pays you, the business that the Lord gave you. Why, sis?
Because your black will crack if it's dry.
And nosy. Goodbye.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.